Acknowledge Pastor Jay, so if you would come up, my brother. This man has been a gift to me for many years. He's been a gift to the House of Prayer. He's one of the men that God chose for us, and we appreciate him. So if you would lift up your hands towards him. Hashakiyata. Father, we just want to thank you. Would you repeat after me, Lord Jesus? Bless this man tonight. Bless his message that you've put into his heart. And open our eyes and open our hearts and our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to us this night. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, it's a blessing to be with you tonight.
Thank you.
And I might just share with you, this is our newest newsletter of IM. I'll leave it here that you could look it over. You've all put seeds in this ministry, and we appreciate that. We've started 12 schools in Pakistan and northern India recently. And some of these are going to take, the graduates are going to go out into the tribal areas where the Taliban are and share the gospel. So we're having an input there. I hope to go to Ghana, West Africa, and South Africa this September to visit schools that we have there. So this will tell about some of the things happening around the world. Also, we're going to have a gathering conference the 28th through the 30th of April with Brother Wade Taylor and Steve Porter. And here's a schedule. I'm back Thursday night, all day Friday and Saturday. If you can make any of it, you'd be welcome. Brother Taylor is my father in the Lord, and he is really a modern-day mystic, a deep man of God. His website is wadetaylor.org. You may want to check it out, morning and evening devotions, and he gets 8 or 10,000 hits a day around the globe. And one German pastor has been writing him lately and saying, I am getting material off your website I've never heard before about a deeper life, a intimacy I can have with the Lord, and I'm using that to lead my people. So we'll just leave that up here. You're more than welcome to come. The church building that you sent some money to help us with is done, finished. Building is very well used. We have a website, rockroadchapel.org. rockroadchapel.org. And on there we upload some of the messages that are being preached. You could hear preaching there and also see what's going on at church. On Wednesdays we have begun a community breakfast from 7 to 9. People just come. We have an older guy who has a chef's hat on. He makes eggs to order. We have an older lady who makes blueberry pancakes and waffles. And it's a wonderful breakfast. You can't beat the price. And people come and drink coffee and spend some time. And one old fellow who comes is 80 years of age. He said, this is the best thing happening on the mountain. And after that, we have something called Miracles for mothers of young children. They come and they're learning things like meal planning and how to sew and how to do budgeting and child care. And then on Wednesdays, we also have a food pantry where people can come and get food. And you know who comes a lot is a lot of older people, maybe got $700 a month Social Security and that's it. And we have some unwed mothers and that are coming. So those are some of the things that are happening. And each Friday, first Friday of every month, we're having prayer and fasting all day long in the church. So we're creating, we're praying for an atmosphere where the Lord will come in a greater way. As I was preparing to come today, the Lord spoke something to me that he wanted to encourage the women of this house, that he really appreciates each and every one of you very much, and he has a little something for each one of you, and Lord says he really appreciates you, you're special, and you're one of a kind, and God really appreciates your fragrance, your spice that you bring to the recipe. Thank you very much.
I'm just doing this on behalf of Jesus, because we wanted you to know that he really appreciates you.
Well, we're in the beginning of Passover, aren't we?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And as believers, we ought to know that we all have been personally freed from Egypt. God has brought us out by the blood of the Lamb. We have been set free. Let's give him a clap while we thank the Lord that we've been set free. And the Passover story is to be told again and again. The Passover story was miraculous. It was a story of a lot of transitions. They went from slavery to freedom. They went from despair to having hope. They went from darkness to light. And the greatness of the Passover is the greatness of God on display, what he has done for his people. God was involved with his people, and he's still involved with his people. Very much. He's involved with us all personally. He cares about us. And God cared for the children of Israel, and he cares for us. Let's all say that. He cares for us. One of the Messiah's last things he done when he was on planet Earth was he celebrated the Passover. And he gathered all of his friends into a small room, probably smaller than this room. And Luke 22:15 says this, "I really want to celebrate this Seder meal with you." That was the heart of Jesus before he left. He really wanted to spend some time in celebration. And during that Passover, that upper room experience, Yeshua was revealed to them in a way that they'd not fully known him before. The mystery of them being delivered from their bondage, for he was going to offer himself. He was a part of God's plan of salvation. And I want to tell you, as we go on in the Lord, as we soak before the Lord like we just did, and as we read the Word, to really understand the plan of salvation and all the Lord has opened up for us, to realize how free we really are. And that we are joint heirs with him. All that he has, he wants to share with us. And it was at that night that he began to share that my body and my blood is going to be offered for you. He explained that he would have to die. And he instituted communion, the Lord's Supper, that night that we celebrate. And we probably should celebrate that even more often than we do. And I want to urge you, when you do take communion, that you take it as the body and as the blood of the Lord Jesus. You may just see symbols, you may just see bread and juice, but take it as, receive it, because there's an impartation of spirit and life. And he was the lamb that was offered by the Lord. He was offered freely for us. And we really need to celebrate more the privileges that are ours, for what he has done for us. Thank you, Lord. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you that you have canceled death and the sin in my life, that you've given me newness of life. Do you know, for us who are believers, this is the worst they'll ever get? And for unbelievers, this is the best that we'll ever get. When this life is over, it's going to be so much better for us. But God wants us to enter into our eternal life even more and more now. The Israelites, when they were living in Egypt, it was pain, it was suffering, it was tears. But there came a time of deliverance. We need to know tonight that people are suffering. They have pain. They have tears. And Jesus offers them deliverance. And we should make that available to them and share that with them. And their deliverance was spoken of years before. Joseph said, one day we're going to get out of here. And when you do, go, take my bones with you. He had bone-moving faith. He knew one day. You know, sometimes we contextualize how it's going to be. It doesn't always work out the way we see it. But it'll happen, just like he said. The promises of God are yea and amen. And during this time of Passover that we're celebrating, it's a good time for us to break with old habits of sin, of selfishness, and begin a new life of holiness. Oh Lord, have your way in my life. Break down everything that hinders me from having more of an intimacy with you. You know, the Lord heard the groanings of the Israelites, and he came down to raise up a deliverer. And he appeared to Moses in a burning bush. And when Moses turned to inquire, the Lord began to speak. I want to urge you to be open for the Lord to begin to speak to you. And he may speak in non-appropriate times. You may have to turn aside from what you're doing, but God may have something to do for you that you've not thought of. Moses, take your feet off, your shoes off. You have walked in your own strength long enough. You're now going to walk in my strength. And you have a message to deliver to Pharaoh. Let my people go. And I trust that this house here will always pray for those in this area. Lord Jesus, we speak in the name of the Lord to the devil and his imps to let God's people go. Let them be free. You never know, prayers down in this little room, what they can produce outside. Is that right?
Amen.
And God said, I'll work with you. And he did. Because he knew Pharaoh would resist. But Pharaoh had to receive plagues of blood and lice and frogs, beasts, cattle disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and death of the firstborn. Boy, that shows you how hard the heart can be. Is that right? But God broke it. And I like there's a verse in Exodus 12:13 that they were to mark their houses with the blood. And God said this, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, not when an angel, not when a messenger, but when I personally see the blood, I will pass over. And I want to say, those of us who believed in Yeshua and Jesus, received him as our Savior, death passes over us. For the Lord sees the blood of the Lamb. Tonight, let's really realize that God has rescued us. And he has destroyed the Egyptian gods. He made an open show of the devil and all of his demons when he died on the cross. You realize that the Israelites' enemies drowned in the Red Sea. And I want you to know all your enemies are going to be dealt with, are being dealt with, even as Islam today is being dealt with. That demonic principality is being dealt with by God. And there's a mass exodus coming of Islamic people who are going to come into the glorious light. And we need to continue to pray for that. Lord, bring them out. God led them through the desert. God will lead us through the desert. He'll lead us all the way through life. And then he gave him a Sabbath. And Jesus is our Sabbath. He's our rest. And he has given us his word. He's given us his promises. He's given us his spirit. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Aren't you glad for the Spirit of God that's inside you? I love that passage in Luke 22:19. This is my body which is being given for you. What more could he do? He gave himself totally. And completely. And And when we take communion, when we have the Lord's Supper, he said, do this in memory of me. Do it, remembering what I've done for you. Remembering I'm coming again to receive you unto myself. It's wonderful. And it says in Exodus 6:6, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. And he certainly has done that, did he not? He has redeemed us that way. But also this week is the week of Passion, the Holy Week. It began yesterday when we celebrated, Sunday when we celebrated Palm Sunday, the entrance into Jerusalem for the last time. And it'll culminate on Sunday when we celebrate the resurrection. And Palm Sunday was the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem one last time to show his authority and who he was. The same crowd was receiving him. Oh, hallelujah! Hosanna, save us now! 5 days later, many of them were saying, crucify him. Oh, you see, they were looking for a political deliverer. Jesus had just healed Lazarus and brought him forth from the dead. Mary had come and poured the oil on his feet and wiped it with her hair. And the news had gone out. Lazarus was risen from the dead. And this same Jesus that they heard about doing miracles, and this big miracle with Lazarus, he's coming to town. That's why people came out. They're all excited with what was going to take place. And when it didn't happen the way they thought, that's something we got to remember, that our preconceived ideas how God's going to do something, it may not work that way. You know, like Christians argue about the second coming. Is it going to be pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? What is it going to be? Have your opinion, but when the Lord comes back, don't rebuke him that he's not doing it the way you thought. All right, just be open. First impressions, so on. Palm Sunday, there was the triumphant entrance into Jerusalem. On Monday, Jesus cursed the fig tree and cleansed the temple one more time. On Tuesday, he debated the Pharisees and the Sadducees in the temple again and in the courtyard. And he spoke prophetically to his disciples on the Mount of Olives. And it was on Tuesday, this day, when Judas decided to betray him. Oh, how awful. Wednesday, the gospel account is silent. But on Thursday, which the Protestant church, many of them call Maundy Thursday, was the Last Supper, was the institution of the Lord's Supper. Went out into the garden and prayed, not my will, but thine be done in me. And that was the night that the trials began. Then on Friday, the trials finished, and he was taken to Mount Calvary, and he was nailed to the cross. And there were two thieves that were nailed there. They both saw the same man between them. They both heard the same words. And one rebuked him and said, if you are the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save us? And yet the other man said, remember me this day. And Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Isn't this something how two people can see the same situation come out with different conclusions? Are you thankful that God has opened up your eyes to see spiritual things? Oh, thank you for the gift of faith you've given. Thank you, Lord, that I got a revelation of you and of your salvation. Thank you. And then on that Sunday morning, Jesus appeared to his disciples. And to the women who came, because he rose from the dead on that morning. And then, during the next 40 days, he appeared many times to his disciples. And he ascended in heaven a little more than a week before the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God was poured out. So what a week this is. What a week. Passover, remembering the deliverance, remembering how he brought his people out. And wow. Remembering the last week when he was on earth, what took place. Thank you, Lord. And may this be a week when we say, oh God, I want a fresh start. Remove any sin out of my life, any selfishness out of my life, that I can live a more holy life. with you. I want to urge you, you and I have to respond and yield to the rule of God in our life. Yield. His governmental rule is to be a present reality. Right now, He can rule in our lives. And the Bible says that the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. The lordship, the rulership has already begun in us. And it behooves us just to yield to the Lord. The stock market, the earthquakes, the wildfires, the tornadoes. But we're going to yield to the Lord. Lord, we don't know what all is going to happen or how it's going to happen, but we're yielding to you. You can rule and reign in me. I don't want to belong to myself. I want to belong to you fully and totally. And a lot of what you and I have gone through is nothing more than preparatory for a higher relationship. He wants to raise us up to see the panoramic view of what He's doing, giving us a stronger anointing, lift us up in power to give us the words of the tongue of the learns. So may the rulership of Jesus be personally desired. Oh God, stir my heart. Help me to yield to you more and more and more. If you're like me, you have a godly heart, but I have some Egyptian thinking. Oh God, help me to unlearn this. Help my mind to be renewed by the washing of the word. And may there be an alignment between my head and my heart, that there not be any division there, that I can think like you and flow with you. Help me, Lord. And you know, it's hard to be born in America because we've got to figure out everything. But you know, the Hebrews, they responded out of the heart. Americans respond out of the head. Lord, help me to respond out of the heart. Oh, is that you, Lord? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't need to understand. I just receive it. I'm going to follow after you. How many know that God has higher purposes for all of us in this day? Higher purposes. And let's be willing to enter into all that He has for us. Oh Lord, I'm open, I'm available for all that you have. Deal with my self life. And Lord, when I complain, don't listen to me. Continue to deal with me and subdue this. I want to unconditionally relinquish the right to my life that I received in the garden. I want you to make the choices for me, Lord. I want to eat of the tree of life and not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Have your way in me. Yes, Lord. And you know, there's more freedom awaiting us. There's more joy awaiting us as He becomes the preeminence, as He has the center place in our heart and in our life. And you know what? Then we can grow more in this character. Spiritual growth can happen, and we can be used more in the development, the furtherance of the kingdom here. How many know that God is raising us up to be overcoming people? Amen. Overcoming, victorious. And please, brethren, refuse the pull of the culture, the pull of technology, and all the things of the senses that are appealing. Refuse that. Lord, I want to follow after you. Whatever you have for me, Lord, bring me in. Be willing to respond to the dealings of the Lord. Oh, yes, Lord, thank you. And sometimes you're going to be brought to a place where, like Paul said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. God will bring us to a place to see how much we lack. But Lord, I need you more and more and more. Have your way with me. Have your way with me. How many are feeling an increased stirring in the Spirit? Oh, I'm more of a hunger. And as that happens, continue to make yourself more available. It's good you gather down here. It's good you had music on, soaking music. You're sitting before the Lord. Do that even in your homes. Do it in your car. Be open. Unconditionally surrender yourself entirely so that you can go beyond your present relationship with the Lord. Are you further than you were last year? How many want to get even more further? Bring me higher. Bring me further, Lord. We have a couple in our church that have four little children. She just finished her nurse's training. He's been our worship leader for 10 years, Paul Hodges. And they've got their tickets bought May 27th. All four little kids and them, they're moving to Uganda, East Africa. She's going to set up a little clinic. We got some other couples over there who started a 24-hour prayer center. They started a school. They're training young Africans to go up to the Muslim countries. And he's going to go over and just work with them and lead worship and help in his prayer center. And they're leaving the comforts of America. But you know what? They don't even care about it. They've made themselves available to the Lord. And this is what God has for them. We all can't go. We're not all supposed to go. But they are responding to the call that's on their lives. May we all live so transparent that when somebody looks at us, they, oh, Jesus. May we carry the fragrance of Jesus. May we make a difference wherever we go. I want to urge all of us to have come to an end of self-reliance. Our ability, our talent, our skills, come to an end of that and say, Lord, I live and yet not I. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and it gave himself for me. You know, the kingdom is to be a present reality. It's not something just in the future. Right now, the Lord is the ruler of our lives. And we need to yield more and more to that till we can come to be full grown. So I want to urge you to respond to the dealings of the Lord. There'll come a time when God wants to bring you fully out of something, like when the Hebrews were fully brought out of Egypt. Sometimes God wants to bring you out of a job, bring you out of a situation, bring you out of a mindset. But when that happens, just, yes, Lord, I want to flow and I want to go with you. Have your way in me, Lord. If you want to look at John chapter 12, in John chapter 11, you see Lazarus was raised from the dead. You see a little bit about Jesus there when he began to weep because he loved Lazarus. And Lazarus was sick, and the sisters called for Jesus to come because they knew Jesus loved him. And Jesus waited before he went there. Sometimes love waits, do you know that? Love doesn't always respond instantly because he was going to work a higher purpose. When he got there, he was going to show them that he was the resurrection and the life. But then in chapter 12, you have the anointing at Bethany. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made a supper for him, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Isn't that something? He was raised up, sitting at the table, eating with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. She had an aching heart. She loved Jesus. She took the most expensive thing there was. But one of his disciples, Judas, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This was like a year's wages. You see, devotion is a matter of the heart. She didn't care about the cost. She loved Jesus. And the most expensive thing she had, she wanted to anoint Jesus. And then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and he used to take what was in it. You see the two different hearts there. He wanted more money to come in so he could take more. Mary said, "I don't care what it costs. I want to bless my Lord." And Jesus said, "Let her alone." Let's all say that. Let her alone.
Let her alone.
"She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you didn't always have." So he appreciated what Mary did so much that this story is still being told 2,000 years later, what she had done. You may do one act of obedience and the story will be told in eternity. Thank you, Lord. And then there was a plot to kill Lazarus. Then in verse 12, the triumphant entrance. The next day, a great crowd that had come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, this was his final notice to Jerusalem. They took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him and cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Then Jesus, when he had found a young donkey, sat on it, as is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, the king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things were written about him. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it was written, and that they would be, that they had done these things to him. Therefore the people who were with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead bore witness. For this reason the people also met him, because they heard he had done this sign. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "You see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." There was a glorious miracle. The people heard about it. They thought they were going to have a political person who was going to deliver him from Rome. But he came to give his life for something greater than what they had in mind. And behold our king. He was coming to take possession of their soul. Aren't you glad Jesus has come to take possession of your soul? Aren't you glad you don't belong to yourself? He was also coming to be enthroned in their hearts. Oh, thank you, Jesus, that you've come to be enthroned in my heart. You're on the throne of my heart, that I'm not. He was coming to deliver them from death. The older I get, I'm glad I'm delivered from death. When my dad died on November 5th, 1988, we went up to the graveside, and I had a girl in the church who could play a 12-string guitar. Say 12. 12. I mean, she could really play, and she could sing, and she stood beside the grave and said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and of death." Amen. Man, such victory come around. And though we were dead, yet shall we live. Wow. With such victory. And though I had tears about my dad, I had such joy that day knowing that he had gone to be with the Lord and that one day his body was going to rise also. Amen. Hallelujah. So he has come to deliver us from death. Dwight L. Moody was preaching in his 80s and said, "Soon you're going to read in the newspaper, Moody's dead, but don't believe a word of it. I'll be more alive than I am tonight. All it'll be is I'll be free from this worn out body." Behold, our King is coming for greater fellowship with us. So often when the Lord is doing something, people don't see what he's doing or perceive. Let us be opened. You and I have been summoned to accept his rule of his kingdom. Are you glad that you've been summoned? Amen. And are you going to yield to it more and more? Have your way in me, Lord. Have your way in me, Lord. Reduce me down to nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. Reduce me down that you might have the preeminence in all things. Let us get our identity from Jesus. Some folks want to know, somebody this week asked me, "How many people do you have in your church?" And I said, "I'm not living in a book of numbers. I'm living in the book of Acts that has no amen, and I'm looking for the suddenlies of God." Amen. That's where I'm looking. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, and my identity is not in numbers or my education or my looks or fame, but my identity is that I'm a one God apostolic tongue talking holy Roman born again heaven bound believer in the liberating power of Jesus' name. Amen. That's my identity. Praise God.
You got brothers and sisters here.
Yes. Yeah. And my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's my identity. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. And this kingdom that God has called us to, that is it, begun in us now, let us yield more to it, because it's a kingdom of goodness, it's a kingdom of truth, of beauty, of love, of peace, of joy. As we are, I was just sitting over there a few minutes ago with the music playing. It was like being in heaven almost, wasn't it?
Yes.
You don't need money to be satisfied and fulfilled. All you need is the presence of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Blessed art thou, O our Savior. Hosanna, King of kings and Lord of lords, who has come to possess my soul. Thank you. You've come to deliver me and set me free from all of Egypt's traps. Hallelujah. Because you live, I shall live also. And during this time of Passover, Lord, remove all the sin and dross and selfishness out of my life so that I can live more of a holy life and I can live closer to you, O God. Lord, give me an understanding more of what your purchase has done on Calvary for me. Help me to know more what's in my redemption. Thank you. And I want to tell you one thing tonight. Don't ever doubt if God loves you. He already showed you. He sent his only begotten Son who died, who shed his blood on Calvary's tree for you and for me. That shows how much God loves us. You don't ever question, no matter what you've done or how your emotions are, don't ever question whether God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He'll always love you. His love is not conditional. You may feel as though your fellowship with him is not as close as it ought to be because of something's happened, but his love hasn't changed. And we can always come in the time of trouble, a time of need, we can always come boldly to the throne because the blood of the Lamb has been shed. You know what? We as Christians would get along a lot better if we knew the song of the kids. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. What comfort there is in that. One of my little granddaughters was down to the house, and I came in the house. She had the refrigerator open, going through it, and I said, "Who said you could be in there?" She said, "Nobody." I said, "How do you know you could be in there?" "Because you love me, Grandpa."
That's solid.
She knows her father loves her, her grandfather loves her, and now she's perceived that God loves her. And whatever I have is hers, whatever God has is hers.
Amen.
Oh, that's a good illustration for us to all remember. We can have all that redemption purchased for us. Wow. And sometimes we live on a lower standard than we should have to. Because we are a joint heir with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So during this time of Passover, know you've been brought out. Your enemies have been drowned in the Red Sea. Hallelujah. You've been set free. You're being brought to a land of milk and honey. Hallelujah. The price has been paid for all the sins you've ever done or ever will done. He loves you dearly. Ah, and the good work he's begun, and he's going to continue it until the day of his coming. And thanks be to the Lord, who will always give us the victory through Jesus Christ. Always give us the victory. Hallelujah. Let's give Jesus a clap offering tonight. Thank you, Lord. And just know that every one of you are special. Even those of you who didn't get roses, you're all special. And those of you who did, they're Dove chocolate. Dove Holy Ghost chocolate. God loves you very much, and you're special. And Father, I pray a blessing over Pastor Kim, over this flock, over those present and those yet to come, O God, that there would be an increasing open heaven over the ministry, over each life. And may each one here feel your love, your mercy. And may we all, Lord, drink of our redemption more deeply. Thank you, Lord, that you've come to possess our souls. You have come, Lord, to lift us up into a higher realm of authority and of power. Thank you, Lord, in this day when the world is falling apart, that you're raising up your people, that we shall have a corporate manifestation of your love and mercy to this world. We thank you. We praise you. Let's give him a wave offering. We thank you. We praise you. We love you tonight, Lord. We love you. We love you tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Appreciate you and thank you for your love to me over the years.
How many gained a little bit of wisdom tonight?
You know, you were talking about Wade Taylor, and I was thinking about when I first met Wade. We spent the week of the Feast of Tabernacles with him in 97. And all I can say is his investment of his grace in us caused me to meet you a little bit later. So, kind of neat to know that his plans are so different than ours.
Yeah.
And as we continue to obey, because that's been our press ever since we've been here, make sure that we obey, and we appreciate you. But tonight, I asked Peggy to put a little white plate on the altar there, the little altar. And I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads with me, because we need to obey the Lord. And we want to bless not only what Pastor Jay is doing, but his family. Because in case you forgot, as we release gifts to him, God will release gifts to us. So if you'll agree with me, Father, give me wisdom. Give me a number to give to this man so that he can use it to bless others and to sustain himself and the ministry. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And may you share love with each other. Just obey the Holy Spirit. And Pastor Jay, again, thank you. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.